choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
He left Lazarus to die in the land of Judea while he stayed in this region beyond the Jordan. What I can't help but see here tonight as I study this and looked at this is that Jesus is teaching something absolutely fundamental about life and death just in these opening verses here. And the basic truth that we already know and we considered this morning that is that nothing happens by chance, and that even though Jesus is not present here in the sickness of Lazarus and his death, as awful as it was, as painful as it was, as tragic as it was so suddenly to come upon Lazarus and the sisters, without Jesus there, he's teaching us that there is this grand purpose for the glory of God to be revealed. Now, at this point, the text really leaves us on the edge of our seats because of the danger of Jesus' own life comes to the forefront. The disciples say to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going to go there again? Are there not 12 hours in the day?" says Jesus. "If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." This has been a big issue in John. This has been a real big issue because in chapter 7, he wouldn't just walk out openly into the feast. Remember? He said, "I can't just do that because I testify their works are evil. They want to stone me." But then he went up to the feast. And the point that he made there, the point that Jesus was teaching, was that every bit of Jesus' mission, every bit of that was designed, purposed, and planned so that he could not depart any step from the time, the steps, the place, the when, the how, the why. All of it had been predetermined before he had ever come to earth. And so Jesus is here teaching. He's here instructing them that he's on the Father's schedule. And no matter how it goes, no matter what happens to you, Jesus is saying, when you're walking in the will of God, and think of his disciples, he's teaching them right now, you'll never stumble. No matter what happens, you'll never stumble. The path that the Father gave the Son was the path of death. So what transpires? Lazarus dies. In verse 14, Jesus says it plainly. Lazarus is dead. Wasn't talking about sleep. Lazarus has died. So he comes to them and he finds, as he comes to this place where they've all gathered around, and there's a great mourning, that Lazarus has been now in the tomb for 4 days. How many times, we look at this? This is really tragic. How many times have we seen these kind of scenes? And that's not normal to what we think is the course of life. In other words, he died prematurely. None of this was expected, and something is not right. It all could have been prevented. And I want to paint the scene for you a minute. It's wrong. It's too early. The sisters are devastated. The Jews are all gathered around, and there's nothing but awful silence. As a pastor, I've told you before, the worst place, I absolutely loathe funeral homes. I loathe them. I hate going in them. It's an awful, awful scene and an awful feeling of emptiness. Add to that the feelings and the pains of knowing that the person who died, we're all kind of used to a natural course of things, We're used to people in their 80s and 90s going. But we're not used to the sudden tragedies of life that make no sense. Add to that, if a doctor has made an awful mistake and cost someone's life, an unexpected accident. Just this past week, I was horrified to read in the news of this Pennsylvania home that, it's early in the morning, the mom goes out to milk cows, the dad's been working all night, he falls asleep, and there are 7 kids in the house, the thing catches on fire, and they're all burned. That's an awful funeral. That'd be an awful place to be. I don't know if there's anything that would be worse than to have to deal with something like that as parents. Emptiness, pain. I don't get it. And the pain of it all comes out, right? To think, Jesus could have been here and stopped this. That's what's in their minds. Jesus comes upon the scene. The whole thing seems to have escaped him. Here's their great and powerful king. Here's their Lord. And he did nothing about this. And look at the scene. Feel the scene. Feel the pain. Feel the emptiness. Flowers, nice music, good decor, doesn't cover the awful eeriness of death. That's what they're facing. We're confronted here tonight, as I read this and I study this, as to whether we really pay lip service to the providence and the sovereignty of God, The Lord comes upon the scene. Jesus had said, the Son of God will be glorified through this. This death will be for the glory of God. But he comes and he finds them in the funeral home setting. He comes and it's dark and there's nothing but tears. Incredible for them. It's an irreconcilable dilemma tonight, isn't it? How in the world, if Jesus is all powerful, he has said such a sickness is not unto death, and the fact of the matter is he's dead. That's what's the fact. Jesus said something, doesn't seem to correspond to reality. To Mary and Martha, it's gotten beyond Jesus, it's escaped him, and now he's dead. There's nothing the Lord can do about it. So you'll see this in the cries that come out from both of them. They had been talking about this. Jesus did no visitation. Didn't visit them. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You hear it? Why weren't you here? Why didn't you come? My first dilemma tonight as a pastor when I read this text. Why did they have to be put through that? Fair question? Why did they have to be put through that? Why do we have to see these things? I'm a believer. I trust Christ. He's forgiven me. Why does God pass us through these moments? Why does God pass us through the valley of Baca? Why does God put us through this valley of weeping? It's similar to this morning, isn't it? Why that? The answer is, not home yet. I'm not home. And I believe it's right, as one pastor said, the very thought of death, bereavement through death, the feeling of sickness and suffering and the consciousness of approaching death, all has a very beneficial effect on the people of God. How so? They serve to humble the proud, mortify the flesh, check worldliness, foster spiritual mindedness. Martha and Mary want answers, and that's the best place for people often to be. And what I see is that initially Mary and Martha are struggling to live by what Jesus said, Why? Because now they're feeling the pain of the loss. He died. It's over. It's irreparable. So the great dilemma that they're confronted with is to live by what Jesus said, even though reality has overwhelmed me. It doesn't seem to correspond. It doesn't seem to fit. She says, I know, Lord, even now that this has happened, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus calls her to faith. Your brother Lazarus is going to rise again. I love that statement. He will rise again. I know, Lord. I know he's going to rise at the resurrection of the last day. I believe that. I believe that he will rise again at the resurrection of the last day. You told us that back in chapter 5. Remember, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. I know that, Lord. I believe that. I believe that. I trust that. But why did he have to go early? See? What she's struggling with. They understand this. She has yet to grasp the significance of the why. And we don't always have answers to the why. The answer the Lord gives in this text is, for the Christian, it'll always be for the glory of God. In this context, Jesus gives the most powerful gospel declaration and the call to faith in the midst of these times. In other words, can the good shepherd defeat death? Can the good shepherd overcome this one? It's the grand moment, isn't it? You know, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, he didn't just leave it at that. What did he say? Do you believe this? You believe it. You believe that, what I just said. In one sweeping promise, Jesus took upon himself all power and the responsibility to swallow up death in victory. I'm going to do that. I am the resurrection. I am the one in whom there is life. And though one may die, he shall live. Whoever believes in me is never going to ultimately die. What a promise. I can't leave, you know. That's something you cling to every day as a Christian. Whoever believes in me, says Jesus, there's no hell. There's no eternal judgment. You're going to live forever with me in glory. And the penetrating question that Jesus wants us to really think about is, do you believe this, Mary? Do you believe this, Martha? Do we believe this today? You see, Jesus didn't raise Lazarus and say, now believe. See? Not what he did. He didn't even do that after Thomas. He said, no, blessed are those who believe and don't see. He wanted us to believe without seeing. And that's the way to move forward in the light of death. It's the only way to move forward in the light of death, you know? Unless I had believed, said the psalmist, I would have fainted. Many of you who've lost loved ones can say that. The only reason I can get through this is because I believe the gospel. There's no other answer. There's no other way to go forward. It's only the gospel of Christ. That's it. Without faith, people go through life frantically. They have bitter spirits. And they call into question God's goodness, his wisdom. Is God good? That kind of anger with those questions destroys people all the time. Jesus told us these things here are ordered for God's glory, and that in him, since he is the resurrection, that sadness will be turned to joy. Has to be. Sorrow comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. So what happens? Jesus looks upon all their weeping, which is very real, and he looks upon it, and we read one of the most moving statements given in the scripture in verse 33, that he groaned in spirit and was troubled. That word groaned is really fascinating in the Greek. It's a big, long word. It means to express deep anger, agitation. He is deeply agitated. Deep, deep agitation. And then you read verse 35 that he wept. The implication here is that Jesus felt, Jesus experienced, Jesus knew, he knew the agony taking on our human nature of what? Seeing the sin destroy those whom he loved, looking upon that, the overwhelming agitation and righteous anger came upon him that had happened to his eternal objects of love. Deeply agitated. It's a moving scene. You completely understand why Hebrews says that he's able to sympathize with your weaknesses. You know, he understands. He knows. He's been there. The God of heaven and earth, our God, taking on human flesh and then weeping over this because of his love for his sheep. Do you see what Satan's doing at this moment around all this? Then come the mockeries. This guy couldn't heal him. He could heal the eyes of the blind and couldn't do anything about this man. Boy, there's the devil, isn't he? Right in the middle of it all. He'll always be there in the middle of these hard times. Couldn't he do it? Lord had already said the devil speaks through his own. Isn't this just it? Just sad. Everything was prepared. The foolishness of men was about to be brought to nothing. The glory of God is about to be revealed. Jesus cries out, "Take away the stone." Martha says to him, "Lord, look, there's a stench in there. 4 days. Don't make us go through this anymore. It's going to be awful. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Didn't I say that to you, Martha? Didn't I say that to you, Mary?" Belief, belief, belief. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I don't know how exactly he said that. I wish I could communicate the cry that came out of his mouth and the way he said that. "Lazarus, come to me. Get up." And you read there, he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Imagine that moment. His face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So what we have here tonight is a whole scene of what his own resurrection would be. Jesus was teaching them and showing them that soon people would be coming to his tomb, that soon the women would be weeping, coming to his tomb. The angel answered unto the women and said, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. That's the response. He's risen today. And because he's risen, all those who are his, who believe, have to rise. It's not a question. It has to happen. They're given to the Son. They're the reward to the Son. Remember, he said that in chapter 10. They're given as a gift to the Son for completing the mission. So it's the power of Christ's resurrection, even over the last enemy, that by death is defeated. Death is a defeated foe. So the resurrection tonight is the answer to all the sorrow that we see. As we considered this morning, as we see these people being washed away, we see these people dying. Jesus is declaring, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes, what could man do? What could happen? God's going to raise them. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. Know what you heard this morning? Be about his work. This is coming. So here we stand tonight. Here we are, you know. We're all dying. And Jesus had remained behind while Lazarus died. Isn't that kind of a similar situation? Jesus is now on his throne. He's gone ahead of us now. But he has said he's coming back to take us to him. So when we see whatever trial, whatever sorrow, whatever affliction, whatever death, whatever suffering, we should see as Christians. These things are for the glory of God. This is not it. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. On that basis, the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. Believe them. The Lord has all said all throughout the scripture, he's creating a new heavens and a new earth where only righteousness is going to dwell. You're not going to have to worry about earthquakes and tsunamis there. For now you do. For now these things come. That time's coming when he says, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, my joy in my people. The voice of weeping no longer going to be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, saying, death is done. No more an old man who's not fulfilled his days, Lazarus. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. What he's saying is, it's never going to happen again. Build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit. My elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. What does the Lord say to us tonight then? I'm the resurrection and the life. He's the Lord of history. He's the God of your salvation. What's going to come then? I don't know. We've had a lot of that as of recent. A lot of sickness. A lot of people facing things, brothers and sisters, it's come upon them suddenly. What does the Lord say? Believe me. It's for the glory of God, and nothing can separate you from my love. Believe me. I am the resurrection and the life. you believe this?
Grateful you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Do please visit our website at agradio.org. There's a place to support us if you'd like online, and we would love to hear from you. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and if you have enjoyed Abounding Grace Radio, we do extend to you a warm invite to join us for worship on the Lord's Days. 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are our worship service times on Sundays. You can visit us at escondidourc.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe.